get it and flip it, I did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm Kemp in his prime. Get it and flip it, we did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Ball Don't Lie, episode 164. It's your guy, Scott Dante. You know to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershop Scott, at October Zonte. Follow the Barbershop Network at Barbershop Net on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershop Network. We got a current episode of Cinema with the Guys. Me and my brother Flo is breaking down the latest Marvel and Star Wars releases. And also, it'll be a new episode of Summer Sessions this week. So check that out for this week. We are here. NBA Finals, two games in. Want to give a shout out to everybody who's watching our post-game shows. You know, if you missed those, of course, I put up the audio to each one's on the feed. So shout out to everybody who listened and watched. But we are tied 1-1 in this series between the Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics.
We wish, nigga.
Yeah, we wish. Yeah, for my nigga KD, I wish KD was in here. But, you know, heading to Boston on Wednesday for games 3 and 4. How we feeling, man? 2 days in. What's your feel of this series so far?
I think all that panic from game one has quickly subsided. People not really worried about that no more. And it's back on track to what people thought was going to happen, and that Golden State is going to win it. You know, we said it was going to be a tighter series. But when you look at it, you know, it's been two blowouts. So, I mean, it's been two blowouts so far. I don't think we really expected that, especially from Boston's with they lack of offense.
Two should have been blowouts if the Warriors would have kept their fucking foot on the game.
Yeah, I just say game one they should have been up 2-0 when you look at it. But yeah. we don't like doing shoulders around here. But I mean, so far I think it's been an entertaining series. You know, like we said, Boston really needs to steal one in the Bay. So you know, it may you know, like I said. People panicked for a bit, but, you know, when you really want to look at it, when you really take a step back, that's what they needed to do. You know, they got smoked in game two, but they did the job that they needed to do in game one. So I think if you Boston, you can't panic. Like, everybody else may be back and saying, all right, yeah, they about to get their ass kicked. But the reality is you did what you needed to do in game one, and that was steal a game. So I think so far, like I said, I've enjoyed it. It's been a really good series, and I'm excited to see what's going on, what's going to happen going forward.
Yeah, I've been entertained, which is way more than I can say for the conference finals round. Really, for majority of these playoffs, and I had to have a come to Jesus moment when we had to admit that these playoffs have been kind of mid. But it's been entertaining. It's been two entertaining games. I think the Warriors probably the only team now, maybe just because Steph's my favorite player, but the Warriors the only team that like make blowouts entertaining. Like, maybe because these niggas be shooting from half court and shit like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's the only reason.
Like, it's exciting shit. You know, oh, shit, niggas is up 30. But this is pretty much, you know, the first game, I just felt like Golden State missed a golden opportunity, no pun intended, to take a 2-0 series lead in this series. And, you know, that it's just, you know, that one thing that they like to do is their trademark thing. They take their foot up off the gas. It's something they've always done. Through the entire run, you know, of course, the most epic taking their foot off the gas was 2016. But that's just who they are. And, you know, bit them in the ass. But it's kind of like, you know, like you said, we don't do ifs on this show. It's hard to do ifs in sports because you can do that with any series in the history of sports, any championship thing in history of sports, you can do ifs. But the Warriors could be 2-0. They should be 2-0 right now, you know. And as a guy who picked the Warriors in five, now the only thing I really took from this, I do think Boston will win another game. I wouldn't be quote unquote stunned if Warriors ran all three in a row, but they do the same. They something, you know, they get a lead and they start playing like the Harlem Globetrotters. So just off that alone, and I do feel like the Celtics can get a game at the crib, even though they've been very mediocre at home. I think will allow them to make this a six-game series. But this is still, you know, what I thought I would see coming into this series. Boston struggling to score. Like, they put together a 17-0 run, which I think is the biggest run in, 30 years of the NBA Finals? In the last 30 years in the NBA Finals? Something like that?
It was something crazy.
Something crazy. It's been a long-ass time since, you know, you've seen a run like that in the NBA Finals. They've been the kind of the offensive team that I've expected them to be. mediocre inconsistency from Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. This is pretty much what I predicted and why I said it was going to be five games. So, you know, to me, it's like, you know, all, you know, everything is according to schedule.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was say, yeah, cosplay Kobe got to wake the fuck up.
Like, we calling him that from here on out.
From here on out, bro. Like, he really got to stop. Because, I mean, even in game two, he, you know, he came out and tried to be aggressive. But that play, that style of play wasn't helping the team. When you watched him play and you watched those buckets he got, like I said, there's no way you score 28 and your net rating should be that bad for the game. Like, his impact on the game wasn't what it was supposed to be. And it was partially because, you know, he was forcing it. He was not just letting the game come to him. And we've seen him have these bounce-back games after bad games. So I expected him to do that in, you know, in a different capacity. So, I mean, that's one area that I think Boston that really needs to be concerned about, because, you know, his handle has looked sussed all series, you know. We talked about that in the Miami series with him and Jaylen Brown, but it seemed like they were taking turns just diving into people, you know what I'm saying, getting stripped. So, like, that's going to be an issue. So, I mean, like you said, and that kind of leads into who you feel has the
Before I get to that question, I just want to say I want to give some love to Andrew Wiggins, because I do think he has part of Tatum being out of whack. And I think it was Michael Wilbon said that in the post game yesterday, where Stephen A was like, you know, Jason Tatum's ain't playing well. And Wilbon was like, let's cut the shit. He said, Andrew Wiggins is playing great defense on him. He said, I'm not going to let the Celtics off the hook and just say they're just having a bad game. No, the defense turned up. And that's what we really saw in this game. It's like the defense and Draymond. I love Draymond. He's one of my favorite players. Draymond had typical annoying Draymond yesterday. Yeah, where you got the good, bad, and the ugly of Draymond Green. And, you know, but I feel like that's the kind of intensity that you need for him. It's kind of like, I'm not comparing the two, obviously. Dennis Rodman is on another planet. I think Dennis Rodman is the greatest defender I've seen, personally. But, you know, Rodman used to like to get niggas' heads. You know what I'm saying? Smack Malone on the ass or some shit like that. You know, like that.
Yeah, it's definitely mental. Like the pulling Jalen shorts. Like like that is definitely letting his legs fall on him. Like annoying shit. When you're speaking of defenders, like,
what'd I do?
Yeah, like exactly. Like he always do that. Like, well, I ain't even do shit. But you speaking of defenders, you know, we got to get Steph his props. Like, we always shit on Steph. But Malika Andrews, she was just on my screen. And, you know, she said this. You know, offensive players are 5 of 18 when Steph is the primary defender. Marcus Smart is 2 for 8. Jaylen Brown is 1 for 4. Jason Tatum is 1 for 3. Ooh. And Derek White is 1 for 3. So
interesting stat.
You got to shout out to Steph, bro.
Because I think it was Jordan Poole was like, yeah, Steph's a 2-way player. I heard it. I was like, all right, nigga, relax.
Pat Bev said chill on a 2-way player, but he was like, over the last 5 years, he was like, he has, you know, committed to the defensive side of the ball. We've seen him get bigger and get stronger, and I think that's helped him a lot with that.
Yeah, he's definitely – one thing I'll say, this is my I'm going to get my pavion with my media takes. You know, you talk about how, you know, you're talking to group chat about how shit looks different in batting practice. Trust me when I tell you this, Stephen Curry is not a small motherfucker. I'd say this, Steph Curry is not a small motherfucker. I've been around Derrick Rose and Steph Curry, and the difference is, like, you know how they say D Rose 6'3"? Rose is not 6'3". D Rose by smooth 6'1".
Yeah.
Steph Curry's a legitimate 6'3", 6'4", and he's like, he's a little bigger now. He's a little smaller, though. Like, I went to 2 Clippers Warriors games. This year. I covered 2 Clippers Warriors games this year. I'm like, damn, this nigga look big on, and then he do on TV. So it's like, you can tell that, you know, he's been in the weight room. Like I said, that's part of his game. He gets to the basket much easier. And I got to give Steph credit. I said this on the post game show. We talking about defense and stuff. Marcus Smart has played good defense, but Steph is still finding ways to get his. He's not shooting bad from the field. You know, when he's finding a way to get around the defense and still getting his, he initiated that little run they had in the third quarter. They were getting nothing offensively. And what we've seen from past finals with Steph, specifically 2015 and 2016, because in 17 and 18, he had KD there. And, you know, he got easier looks. And even though Steve Kerr and Tyronn Lue said they did double-team Steph more than they double-team KD, it's still different when you got a 7-foot motherfucker who can shoot from any place on the court. Outside of, you know, different thing, we got, you know, Clay, who's not what he used to be, Jordan Poole, things of that nature. Majority of defense is coming through Steph, and he's still been bodying it. But to answer the question about who has the edge 2 games in, I mean, I don't want to say, like, you know, I think the Warriors have the edge, even though Boston did what they're supposed to do. You know, Boston's supposed to split the first two, which they did. But the reason I say the Warriors have the edge, because the Warriors probably looking at this like, we should be up 2-0. If we didn't tweak off in the bottom of that third quarter, we should be up 2-0. And like you said a couple minutes ago, we kind of seen two blowouts. Like, the Warriors have had four double-digit leads in these two games. And the Warriors looking at this like, you know, they're the vets. They can win a road game. They're not worried about winning a fucking road game. And same thing with Boston. Boston has been sus at home. This is the team that in the last round, blowout win in game two in Miami. And then they got smoked at the crib the next day when Jimmy Butler didn't play the second half. So I believe that Golden State has the edge. And not only that, they have the mental edge of, okay, we know what we got to do now.
No, absolutely, G. And that's going to be a problem. And I agree. I think Golden State going in definitely has the edge, especially when you got that championship pedigree.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking? This is a team that's been there before. You're talking versus a team that, like everybody highlighted before the finals, they have zero finals experience on the roster. And so, you know, they're going to bank on that home crowd. We talk about the Garden, how it's going to be rocking. But I think overall, as far as who has the edge, I think it's definitely the Warriors. Yeah. I think, you know, you had their role players out of their mind. You know what I'm saying? For them to win that game when you guys have pretty much been Steph and Co. offensively. And you've had, like you said, you've had four double-digit leads. You capitalized on one, but you blew it in game one. But if you have a Klay game, and, you know, Klay is good for, you know.
Yeah, he's going to have that one game.
He's going to go off at one point. Like, he's going to have that 30, 32-point, 35-point game. So it's just really a matter of when with Klay. So I think if you're the Warriors – when you look at that and you look at the way you've played and you look at how you lost game one, it's like, we can definitely go in here and let's, you know, make shit happen. So like you said,
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if when it was all said and done and we look at this, it's a 3-1 lead.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't be surprised because that's just how they are. And I've said this on post-game show. I said this on the preview. I just feel like the Warriors have such a greater appreciation for this finals than they do in past years because of the two-year gap of them not being in there. And, you know, also the last time they was in, they lost. And I think a lot of people forget that. Like, they haven't won a final in 4 years now, which is, like, probably fucking eternity for them. And so I feel like, you know, they're older. Steph knows, you know, I don't know how many more times I'm going to make the final. Same thing with Klay and same thing with Draymond. So I feel like I just feel that the Boston had to do so many things to win this series. And I understand the defense. I get that. But we know this is Bears fans, G. You got to score.
All this shit don't matter.
You got to fucking score. I'd have a dollar for – remember, every time the Bears made the playoffs, well, you know, if that defense gets some stops, and they can just score 20 points. Like, you got to score. And that's the main issue.
Yeah, I'm not even going to say it because I get off on a rant about them niggas. So you're right. You are absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Defense is cool, but no. And that's why, you know, Robert Williams, G, he's hurt. G. Like,
oh, he's flat out. Sure. Like, he's out there hurt. On one leg, man.
Yeah, he's out there on one leg. Like, you know, he's hobbling around, and that's really hurting him. You got to wonder if Udoka's going to get to a point where he's like, you know, this is doing more harm than good.
Yeah, it's not like he's scoring.
And you see more. Yeah, you see more Daniel Tice. And as opposed to Robert, because that's like when you see him limping out there, it's like, oh no, yeah. Damn, no, bro, not right.
Yeah, and he had like one collision with Draymond where it's like it looked like his knee almost gave out for me. Actually, it wasn't Draymond, it was Al Horford banging to his knee. Horford banging to his knee. And I saw somebody call him, what's somebody call him? Barico or Jason Camby, which I thought was hilarious. The man got to shoot more, like he didn't even shoot the ball like more than. What, four times? Like,
yeah
I need more from that, man. But what's some things that have surprised you in this series that you didn't see coming, you know, when this series began?
What's been surprising is Jason Tatum. I ain't gonna lie. Like, I expected him, you know, with all of the Kobe talk and, you know, putting wristbands on and showing text and all that extra shit. I said, okay, now he in the finals. He gonna tee up. We gonna get, you know, several games of elite Jason Tatum. And so, like, the fact that I'm saying you didn't put a lot on it. Like, bro didn't put a lot on it going into this. So I was expecting that. So that's one thing that's really caught me off guard. And another thing caught me off guard, but that plays into one of our other topics, so I'm not gonna say it right now.
Okay.
But yeah, that's the main thing that's really caught me off guard. I expect I expect more from Jason Tatum.
One thing I guess that's caught me off guard is just really just how well Steph is fighting this defense. Like, you know, because I'm a huge Steph fan. It's my favorite player. But it's like Steph a lot of times shy away from physicality. Like, you know, that's not his bag. You know what I'm saying? Like, he gets frustrated. He starts shooting dickhead shots. He starts turning the ball over. I have not seen none of that in these first two games. It's like he came in here with a mission. Oh, y'all keep talking about Marcus Smart can do this to me, and he's found a way. And I hate when, you know, during halftime, I'm like, well, he's getting open looks. He's getting open looks because he's creating open looks. Like, it's not like that. You know, it might be a couple where they've left them open, but for the most part, he's been fucking, you know, making the best of his opportunities, getting these open shots. They've been contested shots they just can't do anything with. And so I think that's the thing that's been the most surprising to me is Steph, like, oh, I like this kind of physical game. I can excel in this physical game. And he's shooting well from the field. It's not like he's getting points and, you know, he's just shooting a bad percentage. He's shooting pretty fucking well in these first two games. And I didn't expect it for a thing where it'll be like Steph has been out there by himself. He's doing this. The Warriors could be up 2-0, and he's got no help from his others. You know, Klay had an all-time bad playoff game in game number two. He wasn't good in game one. You know, Wiggins has been cool. Jordan Poole has been an asshole. I understand, you know, he had a good game last night, but that was all stat pad. And I saw a tweet. Garbage point. Somebody said that Jordan Poole plays like bad bitches are always in the arena. I'm like, this is one of the most accurate descriptions of his play.
But no, I'm mad. Somebody posted a video with two of the weakest holes I've ever seen. It was like, Jordan saw them and started going crazy. Like, no, he did not. Like, stop. No, he did not, bro.
Can
like,
I say on a quick summer sessions note on here? I see you tweeted something yesterday where somebody tweeted a picture of this chick. It was like, Tyler Hero left her. So what y'all got to understand is this. It's different bracket of hoes for different niggas, okay? So a chick who's probably like 15 on a scale of 1 to 10 to us regular niggas, Tyler Hero can afford to let her walk.
Yeah, bro. Okay? Like I said, he's cheated with 7 women who look just like her. Probably went to the same surgeon. Like, get the fuck out of here.
It's a different sandbox, okay? You know what I'm saying? A nigga like Travis Kelce can let a Kayla Nicole walk. A nigga like me, no.
We're gonna worship the ground you walk on. Right. What the fuck you mean?
Right. For the time being, now, when I can walk up to Nobu Malibu without a reservation and get the best seat, then I can play sandbox. But as of right now, I couldn't let no bad bitch like that walk out. But Travis Kelce can. You know what I'm saying? So it's different rules for these athletes. They don't play in the same fucking sandbox as we do. Y'all niggas got to stop expecting to do that. Well, she bad. Yeah. Like, I know we make fun of Michael B. Jordan because he looked hurt last night, and I know he did. He did look hurt. But that nigga will be fine.
I must say, he's A-okay, bro. Like, he's that probably had women.
Will be fine.
He's had women who look just like her, if he not can better, get bro. Like, some random model in Italy, bro. Like, he'll be fine. Like,
so, bitch, I'm Killmonger. You ain't never heard of me before? So anyway, yeah. I just had to go on a little small tangent. But speaking of Klay Thompson, what's your concern level on a scale of 1 to 10 for Klay in this series?
I would say a 7, because I wonder if it's like a fatigue thing. Is it not just the defense? Because I mean, he's missed some shots, but then sometimes he just looked flat out bad.
Yeah,
and like you wondering, like, you know, being year one removed from the injury. If he's starting to hit that wall. And so, but I think I said, at the end of the day, I do believe he'll have that game where he goes off for 30. I think, you know, Klay is good for one of those. But for right now, I will say my concern is that probably like a 7.
I'm going to say mine's at a 5. I'm looking at it right now. He went 6-14 with 15 points in game one. And, of course, last night was a god-awful performance, 4-19 for 11, 1-8 from 3. The reason I'm not too worried about Steph, but Klay, because it's like we said, like, he's going to have a breakout game. That's just who Klay is. I mean, remember the game 6 in the last round against the Mavericks?
Yeah,
and he went stupid. Hell, what, 39 points or some shit like that? And he's a shooter. One thing about shooters, you know, we always say Steph's the best shooter of all time. Klay might be number 2. You know what I'm saying? Like, Klay is that damn good to where the point is he can get hot at any time. And he's not going to stop shooting. He's going to keep shooting until he gets into his rhythm. So, and I think a lot of them are just forced shots, too. Like, a lot of it, he just doesn't look in rhythm. Like, there was a lot of shots where I was like, why the fuck he shoot that? And then yesterday, there was something that the Warriors was doing, like, in the first half of the game. They was putting up some weak-ass layups. Like, you got to go to the hole much stronger than what they were doing. So I feel like if he just tightened a few things up, he should be fine. But, you know, it's kind of like what Illy said in game one, too. Like, you can shoot some twos, my nigga. Like,
yeah, you know, he's one of those guys that, like, he does that a lot. Like, it's like – and, like, it's interesting because during the regular season – you saw him like he expanded his game, especially when Draymond was out. He was taking, you know, a lot of mid-range shots. He was going to the driving to the basket. But no, he's really been settling for those threes and they haven't been falling. So I mean, like you said, I want to say Klay, even though he shot 42% from three yesterday. But you know, we know Klay can do more. You know, we're gonna need more from him, even though Steph, like I said, Steph leads all players in points this series. Well, they haven't mentioned that either.
If they win, he will get his little finals MVP. Finally,
don't get his MVP. He's gonna right. get his MVP.
Right, so we can finally let that go.
But I will say this though, the two bad games aside, if Klay does only give you one good game in this series, you want it on the road.
Yeah.
Because you could say, well, if you take one in Boston, you set up to coast to a ring. Like, even if you got to go seven, but you go take one in Boston. I think if Klay could go off game four, you know.
Yeah,
that would be ideal. You feel me? You don't really need a game three because you want to get that dub. But like game four, if Klay can go off and have that momentum headed back to the Bay, you'll like that. I think that'd be good for him.
Especially because it's going to make up for what the role players won't do. You know, role players don't play as well. And I never understood why. I mean, I get the crowd, but it's like, why do role players not play as good on the road?
See, it's crazy. I think it really is simple as that energy. Like, they feed off of the crowd. You feel me? Like,
so it's just only niggas on the bench. Like, that's the shit that's like, wow.
It's crazy. It's only the bench people. Like, geez, only the you imagine having a starter say, well, you know, he's not really a role guy. We're going to, you know. We're gonna stall him out because he on the
right. No, it's just weird, but it's true though. Like it happens all the time.
All the time, like one of my favorite role players, Taj Gibson. Whew, put that nigga on the road. Bulls had issues, bro. But like
the Bulls had a lot. I don't even think you know. Your Bulls fans have a nostalgia about them D Rose teams. I would never understand.
When the 42 win teams, boy.
Yeah, when I think about them D Rose teams, I think about wasted time, missed opportunities because. Mainly because of Derrick's injuries. That's the main thing. But it's just like niggas be having more found thoughts about me, you know, more good thoughts about Taj than Dennis Rodman. I'm like, look, nigga.
No, it gets ridiculous with Taj, bro.
Nah, Grant, maybe a lot of y'all 24, so I get it. Yeah. But
I know y'all was in the club with Taj, but relax, bro. Like
Taj Lumen. Taj is a Chicago club legend. That used to be the name we called a nigga Taj Lumens back in like 2012, 2013. Him and D Rose used to be out there. If you were in Chicago from like 2009, about 2012, 2013, and using that little scene, ain't no way you ain't seen Taj and Loomis or Bevy, nigga, one of them spots. You know what I'm saying? Like you seen him out there, but yeah, I'm with you. Like it happens all the time. But like you can expect in game three. For you know Pritchard having a good game, you know what I'm saying? You know, even though I think Derrick Rice been pretty good for the whole series, you know, he's gonna be on fire. You know, you don't get you one of them Grant Williams games where this weird looking motherfucker is just like hitting hella threes and shit. And Draymond said, you wanna be me? That shit was so fucking funny to me.
Yeah, like, Draymond's a funny dude, bro. But that's the Draymond you need though, because
that's what's funny. Like Draymond, he's a funny dude, but that's Draymond. You need him to be full Draymond at all times.
Yeah, absolutely. And when he's not that guy, when he's like I said, taking 12 shots in game one, that's not the Draymond you need.
No, exactly.
Give me four shots, get in people's head, you know, go out there, play defense, do your thing, facilitate, and the Warriors have a great shot.
Yeah, man. So let's get to the next question, man. That the big mystery of why can't Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown find consistency, which is something that we've seen this entire motherfucking postseason. Like they just can't put multiple good games together. It's the oddest shit I've ever seen for two dudes who are that talented.
You know what I'm starting to think, and I thought about this the other day. I just didn't text it to you. They starting to remind me of Paul George and Kawhi in the sense that their games are so similar offensively that that you know, even though we've seen Paul and Kawhi have success, these niggas, they clash.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's more of a, like, all right, it's your day to get off. All right, it's my day to get off. It's your day, my day. It's rare that you've seen them have that consistency and that flow. We've seen it a few times this playoffs. But I think part of it is the way that they play. Because, watching Jason Tatum. Yeah, Jason Tatum was out there trying to get buckets with Jason Tatum yesterday. Like, he was out there trying to strictly get buckets for Jason Tatum, and I know a lot of people will stop and say, well, he leads I think all Celtics in like points and assists or whatever for the playoffs or something like that. It might be all players, but you gotta think, when you take a volume of stats and just throw them together, I'm like, well, he doing this, that don't necessarily mean what you're trying to say. And so I think for when it comes to these two guys, that's the issue that they run into.
Yeah, I think it's a mix of with both of them. I feel like when it gets too hot in the kitchen, they shy away. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I don't want to come up here and call these young men front runners or nothing like that. But there's a reason why, if you look at the quote unquote clutch stats, why the Celtics are god awful when the clutch stats come, because their two main players don't know how to fuck that, especially Jayce Tatum. Like you said, Jayce Tatum be battling Jason Tatum, but because he be turning the fucking ball over too damn much, like. And he leads these turnovers by himself by a large fucking margin. So I don't know what goes in his head when the fourth quarter comes or when it becomes a close game. And that's why I said that he tricked y'all, in the words of Russell Westbrook. He hit you. And this is not something I said in the playoffs. I said this first time I saw Jason Tatum live. And I always say about sporting events, athletes, it's one thing watching these niggas on TV. When you watch these niggas in person, I don't care what sport it is, it's a different thing. And I've seen players where I got a greater appreciation for their game seeing them live. I saw Jason Tatum live. Me and Pavy sitting there watching. I'm like, this nigga be getting away with murder. Like, he just be doing a whole bunch of cool NBA 2K moves, and niggas be calling him generational. He do that shit for a half. And then you look up, this nigga had 28 when 25 of them was in the first half. So I just feel like the basketball IQ has to get smarter at the end of games. And I do think it's a little bit of the Kawhi PG thing, like you said, but I think it's more of, you know, it's kind of like you said, they don't really know. They know Tatum's the number one guy, but sometimes Tatum be shying away that Brown be like, all right, I guess I got to do it myself. And then Tatum get back to watch this nigga. And we saw this in game one. And I don't think they'll ever be able to do that enough to win a championship.
No, I agree with you, bro. It's a matter of, like, you know, you really start to ask the question, like, what do they need, you know, to bring in there? Like, Marcus Smart, if it is a point guard, it ain't going to be Marcus Smart. Because, like, Marcus Smart has, you know, gone back into that Oklahoma State roster.
Actual point guard.
I do. I think that would help them a lot. If they had an actual point guard to sit there and table set and say, all right, you do this, you do that. This helped the flow, because a lot of times, like you said, their offense, it gets clunky, and you know, it's not something pretty at all.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And that's no disrespect to Mark Smart. I think Mark Smart is a good guy. He's just not a point guard. There's really only like four actual point guards in the NBA right now. Like, that's State Farm agent and like three other niggas. But like,
because I remember watching bro at Oklahoma State, and like, he was a point guard there. He was getting buckets. He wasn't like a point guard.
He's a two guard to me. That's what Marcus Smart is to me. And there's also been times in this series where I'll be forgetting Marcus Smart is on the court. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and you're letting that nigga shoot. If you make it, we'll live with that. So, but let's wrap this up. Games 3 and 4. Game 3 will be on Wednesday. Game 4 will be on Friday. How you think these two going to go?
I actually think the Celtics come out stronger, win game 3.
Okay.
We don't really fuck with Boston, but you can't deny, like, in that building, even though they've been, like you said, they've been sus at home this year.
They've been very sus at home this year.
But I think bringing the NBA Finals back to that building, the fans are going to be insane. And I think, you know, those others will feed off of that, and you'll get a big game out of Boston in game 3. But I think game 4 the Warriors is gonna come out and probably kick their ass, and I think after game 4, like I said, I pick Warriors in 6, so I think they'll go back 2-2, but then the Warriors will win 3 straight and close it out.
I got the Warriors winning game 3. I think they're gonna come out here. I think the Celtics are gonna come out real strong, but it's gonna be one of them things where they come back to earth. You know, that if the Warriors can get through that first quarter,
That first wave, yeah.
That little first wave. You know that first wave when you ain't been home in a minute, everybody hitting shit, the crowd going loud. You got fucking Robert Kraft sitting courtside, Big Poppy and shit or whatever, all the Boston niggas. And then you look around like, oh, damn, niggas only down five. Like, they can get away from that, then I think they'll win game three. So I'm going to say they're going to win game three. Boston will find a win and find a way to win game four. I said in five originally, but I'm going to switch it to six. But I actually would not be surprised if we sitting here by the weekend and the Warriors up 3-1. Like, I wouldn't be shocked about that either. And I feel like the Warriors, like, all we got to do is get one of these games. All we got to do is get one of these games. And to me, in order for me to believe the Celtics are going to win this series, I believe they have to win both games. Like, that's the only way I can see them legitimately winning that series. And even then, wouldn't it be the funniest shit on planet Earth if the Warriors went down 3-1 and then came back from 3-1? To make up for 2016.
Yeah, I'm about to say, it would actually only be right.
It would be poetic justice.
If they had one of those on their resume during that season, and then, you know, double back. No, that would be
But that's how I see this going. I think it'll be 2-2 series, and you know, but I do think the Warriors, as long as they can stay healthy, man, and no, you know, no injuries and nothing like that, I think they're right on schedule. I think they're right on schedule, but I do think all these games be competitive, man. So that's all we got for y'all today. We'll be back. After the series is over, we'll do a recap of the series. But, of course, we'll be with y'all after each game for our post-game shows. We're going to keep uploading those on the feed for y'all to check that out. So, next one will be Game 3. You can follow us on Twitter at BarChairScott, at October's Own Tay. Follow the Barber's Chair Network at Barber's Chair Net. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network, man. And we'll holler at y'all Wednesday on the post-game show right after Game 3, man. We out.